is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by Rob Bliss. Rob is the guy who's done all those cool events downtown, like the Zombie Walk, 100,000 airplanes over Monroe, the large water slide on Lyon, and most notably the Grand Rapids Lip Dub, which attracted millions of views on YouTube. And recently, you've probably seen the work he's done with Clark Retirement Home doing their super fun Harlem Shake video. How you doing today, Rob?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Hey, I'm fantastic. So you became pretty well known by doing these large-scale events in downtown Grand Rapids that attracted a ton of folks and always great energy. When you launched your first event, I believe it was the Zombie Walk, did you ever expect to draw such an audience and get the attention that you got?
No, definitely not. I mean, I've never seen anything like it myself. I had never, let alone, you know, organized or been responsible for anything like that. So it was completely new and novel to me, and I was really taken aback.
So the Zombie Walk was the first one. Is that correct?
Yes, that was technically the second one, and then there's also the Pillow Fight, which was 1 month before, but you're very close.
Okay. So what was at the heart of all these events for you? What motivated you to do them?
I saw a lot of people on, say, like the East Coast and things like that doing similar flash mobby type stuff, and I wanted to bring that to Grand Rapids mostly so I could just participate in it myself. I was, I believe, 19 years old, so, you know, you couldn't go out, you know, to the bar or anything like that. There really was a limited amount of entertainment options, I think, for people around that age, and so I wanted to do something that created an opportunity for people like myself.
So had you gone and participated in any of these events on the East Coast or the West Coast, or you just decided, you know, you're going to do it on your own?
It was all just doing it on my own. I mean, definitely a lot of these people make videos of it and document it, and so I would watch the videos of them happening and stuff like that. But yeah, I couldn't participate in them, which is what I was frustrated about.
Okay. So you just kind of back-engineered what you saw that they were doing to replicate it here in Grand Rapids.
Exactly.
So what type of a process did you have for deciding, say, one idea over another and what you thought was going to appeal to folks?
I mean, honestly, I just used my own barometer of, you know, would I attend it? Would I want to be a part of something like that? And if I thought it sounded crazy and fun and interesting and would pique my interest, then I hoped that it would for other people, too. And I luckily was successful with that.
Did you have, like, friends you bounced the ideas off with before you launched them? Or did you just figure, you know, you're going to go roll the dice with them?
I would. I definitely would kind of flesh them out with people now and then and talk to them of some things that I was thinking about, but still was really just looking for feedback, but was pretty headstrong about it always, I'd say.
Any that you didn't do that you thought were going to be a good idea, but after talking with folks, you said, well, you know, maybe this isn't the right event?
I don't think anything like that, but there definitely has been events that I was thinking about creating or participating in that I then would back off of, seemed for one reason or another maybe too difficult to put together, too expensive, maybe just not the right time, stuff like that.
So what were your personal favorites and why?
I mean, I can't discount definitely the Lip Dub video and all that it did. There was a lot of luck, I'm going to be honest, involved with that production and making that happen, of just things that happened and clicked together that I couldn't have even predicted or planned for them to happen. So definitely that's one of my favorites. The energy of some of the electronic music nights that we would do, that was a ton of fun. I've always been a big music fan, so that was pretty close to me. And definitely just looking out and seeing that crowd for the Paper Airplane event was a very surreal moment.
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing. I think you had 20,000 people down there. I remember walking out from the JW and then around the corner, and it was just a sea of people.
Yeah, just it was ridiculous.
And then, I mean, with the Lip Dub video, like you said, I mean, everything had to be, you know, really boom, boom, boom right after another. And I remember participating in that, and I can't remember what take it was, but, you know, it's just everything, you know, just had to be rolling right at the exact same time. And I think it was that last take, you finally got what you were looking for.
Yep, we got very lucky.
And I think, if I remember correctly, something had happened with the generator that was on the cart that you were driving around on. And so at some point, there wouldn't have been able to have been another take. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. The generator died at the end of the last take because their water bottles, it was a very hot day, had been dripping onto that generator and ended up killing it by the end of the take, but not until we got through the final take. So we got, like I said, lucky on that.
Right, right.
A bunch of other stuff.
Now, it seems like a few years after you started doing events, a lot of folks started doing large-scale events, you know, like Art Prize. Do you feel that you helped others recognize the energy of downtown Grand Rapids and that they could potentially have successful events as well?
I mean, I think that's possible, but I also think it's possible that I'm really just, you know, one footstep amongst many footsteps of people that are, you know, walking toward, you know, a vision of downtown Grand Rapids as a great place to live, work, and visit and do events and things like that. So I think I was a piece of a puzzle. I don't think I was necessarily the spark. I mean, maybe so. It's really not up to me to decide, and I'm probably too self-deprecating or humble to be comfortable saying that I am.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because I just remember a time period where, I mean, there was really nothing going on, and it's like, you started doing the zombie walk and the pillow fight, and then next thing you know, it just seemed like people got this idea, well, you know, downtown Grand Rapids is a pretty happening place, so, you know, you started seeing a lot of things going on there. What would have been, outside of your events, would have been some of your favorite events to attend in downtown Grand Rapids?
Definitely Art Prize in 2009 was... I can't tell if I love it just because I was participating in it that year, but I just really loved it specifically in that year. And of course the other years to come as well. I love the Site Lab events that happen in downtown Grand Rapids. Those are a ton of fun. All those kind of things are really, you know, I think special. It really feels pretty cool, especially when those events are going on. I really, you know, feel like I'm in, like, Manhattan or something sometimes when those events are going on. It's very special, and I love them.
Yeah, I agree. It does have a certain energy, and it's really exciting to see that going on in the city these days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lately, you've been splitting your time between Grand Rapids and Chicago. What brought you down to Chicago?
Well, my girlfriend, Kendall Pectus, who I have a pretty serious relationship with, moved there, transferred schools to Loyola, and it's a pretty serious relationship, to be honest, and really didn't want to do the long-distance thing, so now I'm kind of splitting my time between the two. Definitely, you know, my friends, family, business, everything is still located in Grand Rapids,
sure.
But my bed is also in Chicago, so I kind of split my time between the two of them.
Great. Now, are you considering doing similar large-scale events in downtown Chicago, and do you think the Chicago area would be as receptive as GR is?
I think, and also in general, I think I've moved a bit away from doing events in general just because I've seen a lot of what can be so powerful about video, and so I definitely would be open to doing videos and such in the Chicago area, but really all of my video stuff is still focused in Grand Rapids. But I mean, it's really, you know, the simplest way to explain that is there's people in Grand Rapids that, you know, recognize my name. I mean, it's really as simple as that I can, you know, call people and be like, hey, I did the blah blah blah, and they're like, oh yeah, okay. And it's that recognition that allows me to do things. Like, I called up Clark Retirement Home when we did the Harlem Shake video, and they knew my name, and so they gave me that credibility. Well, if I did this in Chicago, I'd get a, you know, who are you? You know, it would be a heck of a lot tougher to put stuff together because I would have to, you know, kind of tell my story to people, which, you know, can take time, and it's just much easier to make a couple phone calls and put a video together in GR.
But have you found in Chicago that some already know who you are? Because obviously that Lipdub video, I mean, millions and millions of views across the world.
Yeah, there is a bit of that, and we did an Amtrak video, actually, that was Chicago-based as well. So maybe there's a spark of something there, but it's still vastly doesn't even come close to, you know, the recognizability that I have in Grand Rapids, which I'm very grateful for and probably undeserving of.
Now, the Lipped Up video was kind of a turning point for you. You decided to really roll video into the event and make it go viral, which you did most successfully in gaining, you know, so much attention, millions of views around the globe. What made you decide to go in that direction?
Well, that's a good question. What I really saw was, as a creative individual, I think that it's very constrained when you're working an event because, okay, if a boy is born in New Zealand 30 years from now, he's never going to be able to experience that water slide. I mean, he can look at photos and stuff like that, but that's really, you know, a hundredth at most of the experience. You know, he didn't get to feel the water rushing down his back as he went down it, or like the street light that you would fly under as you're going down. All those like experiences he could not experience. And so it's very constrained by time and place as a creative medium when you're doing events. And so with videos, you know, it's timeless. It's forever. You put it together and people all across the world can experience it equally. And people from all different time periods from here till the end of time can experience
okay.
it all equally. So that, and it's also a heck of a lot cheaper for a lot of different reasons as well. So just a bunch of things have really pushed me to that medium.
So what was the process like laying the groundwork for the Lipped Up video?
Oh, it was a lot of teamwork, I would say. We had a team of about 50 people that were involved with making this happen. A lot of people that, you know, we had to hire to put together this crew, and really just like this giant, you know, pretty professional pyramid crew, I'd say, from myself and a few others at the top to, you know, dozens of volunteers that would, you know, help us on the ground. And it really took a lot of manpower and also a lot of help from private organizations who helped to fund it. We had nearly 20 different sponsors that helped pay for this whole thing, and just a lot of teamwork.
Now, lately you've been doing a number of videos like the Pure Michigan Sing-Along, the Amtrak video, which you mentioned, and the Clark Community Harlem Shake video. Do you approach these organizations, or do they seek you out?
Generally, they seek me out, though. There are exceptions. The Clark one was an instance where we had an idea and wanted to team up with them, and so we reached out to them and to do that video. But that was really more of a volunteer project that we put together instead of a paid video that was put together. So it's kind of a mix of both, I guess. I still kind of take on projects that aren't necessarily, you know, paid gigs or anything like that, but I still think are going to be successful, just like, you know, the Harlem Shake. So I'll put it together regardless, because I know it's going to get, you know, whatever it is now, 700,000 views or something around there.
So what goals do you have in mind when you're creating these videos?
Really just to create an emotional response. I mean, that's really the source of every viral video, is some kind of emotional response that is created with people. And the more that I can work towards creating a stronger one, then the stronger the video itself is going to be, and the stronger the response is going to be, and the more viral that it would go.
So when you say creating a strong response, and I mean, obviously you see, you know, the responses that people have online, but what are some of the responses, you know, people have, you know, come up to you, run into you on the street that they shared with you, whether it was the Lip Dub video or any of these other videos that have really connected with you?
Well, there's definitely a lot of different emotions that a viral video can have. I generally try to focus on a few with mine. It'll either be really fun or funny or lighthearted and clever, things like that. Sometimes also more serious and something that would, you know, provoke someone to tear up a bit. And I think I've had people approach me and say that they have cried about it, or that they have, you know, really laughed out loud about something that we put together. So
great.
Those are generally the emotions. But other people definitely, you know, other viral videos can, you know, be, you know, upsetting or make someone cry in a very sad way and not uplifting way.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I know I chatted with Dr. David Rosen from Kendall College. He's the new president over there, and we were chatting about one of his reasons why he relocated to Grand Rapids in the Lip Dub video. He saw that, and he really enjoyed that and liked the energy of Grand Rapids. So I think that that was something that was, you know, kind of key in his decision-making, that he thought, this is a great place.
Yeah, I've actually, you'd be surprised, I've heard a lot of stories like that, which was really the whole point of the video, was to really show off everything that the city has to offer in a really unique way.